On this episode of Life Below Zero, strange weather spreads across the Arctic, putting Alaska on thin ice.
2 inches ice.
Whoa, that.
Arctic predators come knocking at Sue's door.
The bears, their main food source is anything they can get the paws on.
The search is on for an elusive Arctic fur.
The wolf right there.
And a novice to life in the bush makes a rookie mistake.
Anything can happen out there.
Up is basically a month late. We should have been already almost done fishing by now. And now it's warming back up again after it froze. So I'm worried about the ice still staying thin, the weather warming up like it has, and falling through the ice. That's my concern. And it's only got a couple inches of ice, which isn't very safe. It's safe to walk over, but not to put a load on. And if we have adults working and we're piling up a net, which weighs hundreds of pounds, and on top of that, piles of fish, we're really looking to just kill ourselves. Let's go down to the ice wall, I guess. Well, the weather rules everything, and I'm not saying the weather's messing with me, but I'm trying to roll with the weather, and it's not doing what I want it to do.
For the hailstones, ice fishing is a vital yet dangerous way of life. Until the ice is safe to fish on, the family will be without a key winter currency.
We've got a lot of fish from the summer. We got a lot of caribou, but what we don't have is extra. And when it comes to making money or making good trade, this would be kind of a financial loss to us. You know, we're halfway through our lives. We're middle-aged. We know every little instance that we have to watch out for. We know every little instance that we have to make up for. We know what our monthly goals are for our income and not only maintaining our life, but improving our life. So we'll see what happens.
This is the Kobuk River. It's deep, it's wide. We've been just watching the conditions for the last couple few days and watching the ice conditions here. Whoa! I don't like that crackling sound. It just...
Here's how thick it is.
Right there. There's a rule about working on ice. That thin.
I wouldn't want to put the weight of the fish and the weight of the net on this. That's just not going to work. Ice is between 1 and 2 inches thick, and we have a 2-inch rule for walking over. We have a 4-inch rule for doing any kind of work whatsoever. And I want 6 inches because I definitely want to be able to put a pile of fish and do my work without worrying about the whole thing collapsing in, people dying. Yeah, see? You can see how the different layers, it's like shale. So when you're dealing with that kind of ice, you're not dealing with ice that has integrity.
Every sign we see is just danger, so we just have to keep waiting and play it safe.
There's no money worth dying for. There's no trade worth dying for. So
I ain't having no part of this.
So ends this day of fishing. We will return when the ice is happy and thick.
One more day should be good, huh?
Yeah, one more day.
Looking at the signs of nature, looking at the animals, looking at things, I predict this is going to be one hell of a bad winter. Time to do a little maintenance. Time for me to change my oil on my generator. This year, winter came in with a roar. The caribou, everything migrated out a month and a half early, and then all of a sudden up comes a South Pacific air in what's called the Pineapple Express, and I warmed right back up. With the warm weather that's happening, I'm having to run my generator to keep all my frozen food frozen far longer than normal. It's not the 20 or 30 or 40 below I should be. I don't want to waste food, but I can't afford to keep this generator running solely to keep food frozen.
Warmer temperatures are not only wreaking havoc on Sue, but could also be upsetting the behavior of local predators.
Animals need it to be well below zero so they can hibernate without it being cold enough. They're using up precious resources that they need. They need to be asleep. They need to hibernate. As crazy as it sounds, we depend on it getting cold. Only being 15, 20 miles, you know, up to 30 miles away from the Arctic Ocean, I've got polar bears that hang out at the coast. I now could very well be in the sights of those polar bears. Yeah, usually this time of year, I'm 20, 30 below zero or more, and garbage, frozen stuff isn't gonna give off a smell. But this year, you know, it's 40 degrees now. I'm 70 degrees above where I normally am. It's a fluke. So the garbage is gonna give off a smell. That's like becoming a bait station. So another way of arming yourself with safety is get it burnt. This is something you kind of want to layer. The bears, their main food source, which is caribou, long gone. So what are they eating? Anything they can get the paws on. Bears smell from 10 miles away. 15 miles or so away, I've got usually quite a few polar bears. The sea ice, the pack ice isn't in. So the polar bears are starting to get a little bit upset about that. They want their food. I need to burn this stuff, and I need to use enough accelerant that it's not sitting there smelling like leftover salmon or leftover food that they might be interested in. I don't think a person is a polar bear's natural diet, but they can't get out and get their natural diet right now. So I don't want to leave myself open for some unprecedented attention.
You gotta be a proactive person to live this lifestyle. If you're submissive, if you're waiting for other people to do it for you, you ain't gonna get it.
What do you think, Berg? Wanna go to a new spot today?
So you're loosening up the dog houses. You think we can move those dog houses today?
Yeah, it's time.
Got a list of where to put them.
Yeah.
In the winter lot. Hey, Cody!
Yeah.
Want to move some dog houses?
Yes, ma'am.
Today's a big day. We're going to move our dog houses with the help of Cody, our new student. He's here to learn about dog mushing, subsistence living, bush skills. For 20 or 30 years, I've been dog mushing. But what goes along with that is not just sitting in the sled, it's learning how to take care of dogs.
You want to go to the winter dog lot, Iceberg?
In Eagle, a lack of snowfall has delayed the start of dog mushing season.
It's really late. We're already into mid-November. We're about 2 to 3 weeks behind where I normally would be.
Climate change is really screwing with us up here in the north. If there's one thing you can count on is that you can't ever count on the weather.
So it's time to start getting these dogs in shape. I have someone young here who's never done it. It's going to be fun for me to teach him how to do it. At the same time, it's going to benefit me by getting more dogs out. The dogs are excited. They know what's going on. They know it's time to start getting serious about dog mushing. What we usually do, Cody, is in the summertime, sled dogs love to dig.
Yeah.
We want our winter lot to be hole free because when they dig holes like this, you slip and fall with a bucket of food or twist your ankle, whatever. It's just an accident waiting to happen.
My intentions coming out here mainly is to just try and learn as much as I can from Andy and Kate. And a lot of that, I don't know what I'm going to be learning. I just know I want to live out here, and I want to know what it takes to live out here.
So anyway, let's get
moving. Burning daylight, guys.
Kate's got the list, so you guys can just go ahead and start moving those. I'll kind of work these towards the front.
Okay, Stolly's going next to Fixin, front row, second last.
Do you have to have them spaced out, placed in certain areas?
Well, there's certain ones that are really good friends, and some are like roommates that should never be living together.
Don't raise your house, is coming apart. This is why I'm only 5'8".
Okay, guys.
Hey, everybody. Woohoo. Tia.
Good girl.
Good come, Tia.
Come here, buddy. Is this Rupee right here?
At Nixon, right there.
Okay. As far as what's going on right now, kind of seems like a preschool. Whole bunch of rowdy kids on, just got about a 15-minute recess and got to go play, and now I gotta rile them up to all get back into class. It's really fun, though. You seem like the happiest animals I've ever met.
Come here, Roop.
These dogs are pretty much people here. I mean, they're just really hard-working people. They probably work harder than we do half the time.
I think first thing tomorrow morning, I want to start teaching you how to mush.
Okay.
Get a good night's sleep tonight. And then we'll start bright and early as soon as the sun's up tomorrow and spend the day dog mushing and picking you up out of the snow.
Everybody's in their new house. Oh, boy. New spots.
I don't have a boss, so there's nobody to tell me I need to do anything on a given day. And it's all just being self-motivated and getting done whatever needs to get done. The Brooks Range in Wiseman, where I live, is a... climate's very different, and the terrain is a lot different. Trapping is something that I do commercially, you know, in the winter after the guiding season's over. I'm ready to spend a little bit of time in the woods on my own. Seen some wolf sign around, and I'm just hoping that I'll be able to call in a wolf.
Cooler temperatures herald the start of fur trapping season, an important source of income for Eric. As one of Alaska's apex predators, the coat of a wolf could be worth up to $1,500 on the open market.
Got my AR, got my predator call. I'm gonna head out and see if I can sneak up into a spot and set up and make a good call and set. So we'll see what happens. People sit in front of a TV all winter and kind of get fat. Hunting fur and calling fur. It's kind of my little winter obsession that I beat the blues of the dark and the cold with. Wolves are the alpha predators in the area, except for man, and they're really intelligent animals, and they realize that men have firearms. And if I make any kind of noise when I make my set, I don't have any luck. So I got to park the sled, walk a good distance, wait a while, and hopefully, just hopefully, I can get some wolves in the area.
What the?
Eric has spotted a pack of wolves 1,000 yards away. Each wolf coat is worth up to $1,500. If he can make the shot, this could be the most rewarding haul of the season.
Not having a whole lot of luck with the wolves this year. Seem to hit everything else just fine. Wolves, zero for, I'd rather not say. I'm gonna hop back on the snow go and keep on rolling.
Where I live and how I live, the weather rules everything. Knowing your weather and how to work around your weather is really important here. And it's one of the skills me and my wife both have.
This is frozen beyond belief.
No, let's try to see if we could untangle it a little bit. Where's the end? Right here? Oh, man. The bottom is frozen. Look like ice hard.
This is iced up from being rained on.
A late freeze has delayed the hailstones' ice fishing harvest. in the hope the river is safe enough to fish tomorrow, thawing the 150-foot net is top priority.
If we take it, put it in a shed, close the outside door, build a big fire, and thaw out the bottom, it'll just feed right out real easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we put these things away, we put them away in a fairly organized manner, and we roll the tarps up and protect them as best as we can. But when we went to get it, we come to find out that the continuous rains that happened until freeze-up had leaked enough in here that there's a couple inches of ice on the bottom, and it has all the webbing froze together. So there's no way we can stretch this thing out without damaging it. So we're going to thaw it, and then we'll be able to stretch it out and do our thing. You ready to work, son?
Off together. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. Wait, we're not pulling together.
Probably weighs about 800 or 900 pounds. Feels like I'm trying to lift a snow machine.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, roll.
It always helps to have a big family. Cousins, sons, daughters, wives.
I got it.
If I needed to, I could call on my neighbors around here. They'd help me as soon as I'd help them. No problem.
Go help you with your dad.
Don't... I got it. I'm doing good.
Okay.
You guys just try lifting this way.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. 1, 2, 3, go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, keep going. Up. I'm lifting this bitch.
Oh, there you go.
Here it comes. Oh. Come on in, my blob.
Oh, thank goodness.
Is it in?
Not enough to close the door.
Just put a old sleeping bag up.
On this side. This work we're doing, it takes a lot of energy, so we like to eat real good food. So the real good food right now is under the ice, and we hopefully by morning it'll be thawed out, and we'll go through it out there. And by then the ice should be thick enough, and then I'll get a sled load of fish, a couple of 100 fish hopefully, and be set for the real extreme cold and with fish till springtime.
It takes imagination, determination, and follow through. Those three things usually will get you by out here. Okay, Cody, so today we're going to do your first dog mushing lesson. You ready for it?
I think so. I hope so.
No, I know so.
I know so.
There
I know
go.
So.
I'm going to give you the basics today. For a lot of people, the first time you do this, it's pretty intimidating. They don't realize how much power and speed the dogs have. It takes about 100 miles of mushing to really get a good feel of what you're doing. The most important thing to remember is just try and be relaxed, especially this year with no snow. The sled's going to move a lot. It's going to bounce this way and that way, and you need to let it do it. Don't go with it completely. If it happens, it happens. The important thing is you don't get hurt, okay. Right?
Well, here's to not falling off.
Yeah, well,
if you've never fallen off a dog sled, you've never driven a dog sled. We're going to go out and run around, go through some woods trails, go out onto the lake, run around the lake, just give you your first introduction to it. You're going to have a four-dog team, so you're only going to have a sled, two-wheel dogs, a swing dog, okay. And then your lead dog in front of you.
Okay.
This is Tia. She's a pretty good lead dog. She's pretty steady. It's going to take her a little bit to get to know you. So we're going to take Topaz as your swing dog. Come here, Tope.
Come.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, you can see she's really not very shy. So then let's go get your wheel dogs here. Gilligan is extremely excitable.
Yeah.
He'll tune into you pretty quick, I think. He's kind of a soft head, but he's a really nice dog. And then we'll take Alt. And Alt is this big fat boy over here. Attaboy. He's kind of what I call the no-nonsense dog.
Yeah, it seems like everybody else is all riled up, and he was just chilling in his house.
Yeah, this will be a really nice beginner team for you. And then as you get better and better, we'll just add some more dogs or maybe go to some little bit higher-powered dogs, okay?
Okay. I'll take care of you if you take care of me.
Go ahead and take the coat off first. Undo the chain. And then that has to come up through the neck part.
So on the back side or the front?
No, the front. So it's free. There you go. I've given Cody a hell of a lot of information. I think he'll do well. I expect to see him lose it a couple of times. If he doesn't, all the better. But most people do the first couple of days that they mush.
That's upside down.
Just right off the bat, it's a lot to take in all at once. And when he starts kind of talking about what I have to do if I get knocked off a sled, or I mean, I'm kind of nervous just because, I mean, these are Andy and Kate's babies, and they're trusting me to go out with them. And there's a lot that could go wrong, but it seems like with everything Andy told me, as long as I can kind of keep it somewhat in order, I'll be okay out there.
There you go. Now you can just walk her over there. Or maybe she'll walk you over there.
Thank you for being so cooperative. All your brothers and sisters are a pain in the butt, you know that?
It's a madhouse! Hey, let's go!
This is my first time ever on a dog sled. First time, you know, on a sled in general. And I don't know how it's gonna go, but let's see what happens.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa! Whoa! Hey. Ahead.
This is my first time ever on a dog sled. Something new to me. Anytime you're moving over 10 miles an hour and you got trees all around you, you keep it in the back of your head that you can run into one of those very easy, and without hospitals around, small injuries can become big things.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Easy. Come on! I got a tangle. Welcome to the bush. No, you're doing good, buddy.
Topaz decided to take a poop halfway, and then Gilligan decided to tangle his arm over the yellow line.
Yeah, no, Topaz is famous for that. We need about a foot of snow.
Yeah, that'd probably make everything a little bit softer.
Oh, it gets real good if you get some snow on it. This is pretty rough. You gotta let the sled just move underneath of you.
Yep.
If you go with the sled, it just throws you right off. Okay, why don't you get on your sled and we'll pull on out there and get back on the track. Chee, chee.
Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And if you're sitting comfortable somewhere, you just get complacent, bored, lazy. But when you get out into something like this, you're pushing yourself every day to survive and keep yourself going. And to me, it's amazing.
Chip good, G. Good boy. All right, good boys. Let's see how Cody does. Whoa, 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 whoa. Good spot. Go give them all a pat on the head. All right. We did our first run today with Cody. Everything went pretty darn good, actually. He was picking it up pretty quick. All in all, a first good run. But, you know, dog mushing, it's one thing when you're following someone and the dogs are just going down the trail. It's a totally different ball game when you're out on your own. So I think probably the next thing for him to do is to take a little team out, kind of do the same run that we did today, and just see how he does on his own.
Good job. There are challenges here that there are no longer in the rest of the contiguous United States. If you want to test yourself, no matter what your personality, there's an area of Alaska that will do it. Hey, Bob.
I got some mail for you.
All right. I'll see you in a minute.
Okay.
That's an awesome surprise. I get a mail delivery once every few months. And this time of year, I don't expect it till June, so this is pretty cool. Getting cool again. I mean, it's nowhere near as what it should be. It's been one hell of a warm winter. Weird winter so far.
It's nice and cold today.
Getting there.
Hard to complain. I got you a bunch of stuff.
Cool. I wasn't expecting Bob today, so that's pretty cool. It's cleared up. It's pretty nice. And while he's here, I'm going to ask him to see if he can't get me up in the air for doing a perimeter check on my predators.
The unusual weather could be affecting the migration patterns of predators in the area. But the clear skies afford her the opportunity to scout dangers from above.
I'm pretty interested. It's been unseasonably warm. It's getting cooler today, but it'll be interesting just to get a bird's eye view of what's going on in my neck of the tundra.
Pretty amazing looking. You know, it's times like this that I actually think, holy cow, I might be living kind of secluded.
Do you think? I'm not seeing any tracks or anything. All right, let's go down river a ways.
Well, it doesn't take a hell of a lot for a bear to come from the coastline down. Oh, there's some good tracks down there.
What are they? Can you tell?
Big enough to see from up here. Probably wolves or bears. Oh, wow. Bob, look down there.
What you got?
I got what looks like polar bears. Bob, look down there.
What you got?
I got what looks like polar bears.
Oh yeah, it is polar bears. Look at that.
Holy crap. I mean, we're not even that far from calving, really. It doesn't take more than a puff of air for them to come from here to there. Oh wow, look, there's some more. Holy cow.
Wow.
Well, with the warmer temperatures, you can't get out on the pack ice to get the seals, so they're going to be roaming the coast to try and find anything, but that's the all-time top predator out here, and I don't need them coming down my way.
Yeah, we're not very far from Kavik, really.
Uh-uh. That's 1,000 pounds of predator knocking on your door when one of those come around. I was expecting grizzlies, not polars, so I definitely got to ramp up my game for my own safety. Beautiful to see, but got polar bears way up here. Grizzly bears there. Sioux is way down here.
We better head to Kavik, Sioux. Sun's going down.
It was absolutely an eye-opener for me to see that I have top predators so close. But, you know, you're only going to see the tip of the iceberg with these things, even from the air. They know how to hide. They know how to lay low.
So, yeah, I'll have to definitely stay aware for a little while longer. I mean, to see the polar bears that close, I mean, that's not even 30 miles away. I mean, hell, they can swim 60 miles a day. That's definitely a real threat to my area.
As somebody who's dedicated their whole life to hunting and guiding, there really is no more exhilarating moment than when you're reflecting on the hunt you just completed and you have another just irreplaceable experience that you just lived in the outdoors.
At $1,500 a piece, wolf fur is a crucial source of income for Eric. While he's come up empty thus far, his luck takes a fortunate turn when he spots a lone wolf just off his trail.
There's a wolf right there, sitting down on the ice right there. I knew I heard a wolf howl down there. It's about 700-800 yards away, but I think I can cut the distance and put that berm in between me and him and get a 400-500 yard shot. Looks like a big male, nice gray wolf. I'm gonna go for it. I've snuck up here as close as I dare go without spooking him. It's about a 450-yard shot. He's kind of obscured behind a little knob here, so all I need him to do is just move a few feet in either direction, come out from behind that little riverbank, and then he'll be exposed for a shot. I'm hoping I can pull this off. Oh, here he goes. He's moving right now. Down. definitely some hard-earned satisfaction here. Really gratifying to get a wolf down and feel like I really got something done. What we have here is basically the symbol of wilderness. Even though I believe very strongly in predator control, it's always a mixed emotion for me whenever I kill a wolf like this. I mean, they're beautiful. The first shot, I caught him a little far back and slowed him up. Second shot, I hit him right here in the neck and killed him instantly. I'm gonna load this wolf up in my sled and head back home and get him skinned out. This is the sixth wolf that I've seen since trapping season opened and the first one I've harvested. So after a lot of heartbreak over the last few days, finally came right with this big male. Of all the thousands of days of my life that I spend in the outdoors, it's the days that I just get to see wolves, let alone be fortunate enough to harvest one that I think I'll remember in my later years.
Everything cycles in life and in generation to generation, and I'm hoping we can get back to a cycle where people try and become a little more self-sufficient.
All right. There's Tia. Topaz. Today's a big day for me. I'm taking a team out by myself. Andy's kind of wanting me to build the confidence a little bit more with the dogs and get a little bit better relationship with them and kind of see how I do out there on my own. With how cold it is out today compared to last time, I got to kind of be on my game a little bit. Some of the coldest temps have been since I've been out here. I'm excited and scared at the same time. I just want to go get this started and see how it goes. Good girl. This is why you're a lead dog. I smell your brothers and sisters going crazy out there. Who's next? Hey, you're already back over here. Tia, come on. Tighten up. Go. Tighten up. Stay. Stay. Tia, stay. You're gonna make this difficult on me, aren't you? I'll be back. Okay. You are gonna stay calm and not drag me across the whole yard. No, no, stay. Hey. All right. We ready to go? Hey. All right. That wrestling match is over. Give me kisses. Give me kisses. Thank you. Look at you, Alt. That's my boy. Look at all these guys. They're going crazy. He's just like, yeah, I'm going. Whatever. I'm the man. All right. Let's go have some fun. Hush! Hush! The last time I went dog mushing, it was one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life. But it was also really comforting to have Andy out there with me. I'm really worried. I don't want anything to go wrong. I don't want to get lost out there, and I don't want the dogs, you know, getting scared or something just happening. I mean, anything can happen out there. Come on, guys, mush! 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 Good dogs. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Everybody okay? First run, coming out to the lake. Had a little bit of an issue where I think I just had the wrong lean coming up over a hill and felt everything going over. And instead of trying to save it, I kind of just ditched off into the soft snow, hoping everything would be okay, and jumped right back up. And the dogs actually kind of stopped and waited for me. I was kind of surprised by that. I thought they were going to be gone when I looked up. Today is quite a bit colder than the last time we were out. I can definitely feel it on my face when we're going. But there's no wind out. It's just mainly that negative frostbite feeling. Yeah, all you want to do is play.
hopefully I can figure out where I got in here at. I mean, there's plenty of snow, so I can probably just track my trail back. So we're gonna try and get around the lake and get these guys some exercise. Yeah, we'll go from there. Go, Beth. Come here. And this is not gonna be fun. Dogs tangled themselves up here a little bit, and I don't know if I'll be able to get them undone without unhooking one or two here. You guys trying to freak me out here. We're right here by ourselves. Don't do this to me. Hey, whoa. Let's go. Come on, Tia. Little hop, Tia. Let's go. Come on, Tia, let's go. You got it, Tia. Come on, good girl. Tighten up, Tia, G. Little G. Where you go? G. Bush. Come on, let's go. Let's go. We're almost home, Let's go. Whoa. Well, first trip out there by myself, and it's definitely a lot different being out by myself without Andy out there. These dogs are not machines. They don't just respond to any command or any button push that you give them. They're each got their own individual personalities, and it's definitely going to take some more time getting to know them and getting to know them out on the trail a bit more before we all kind of get settled in together. That was just about the hardest day I've had out here so far. It's all part of the life, but for sure, I'm glad to be back safe and sound with them. There you go.
Subsistence living to me is my ability to go out and get the materials I need to feed, heat, clothe, and make money from. And these folks around here know how to do things to make a good living. It's not survival, it's living.
Honda's warmed up. Whoa, warmed up and in first gear. We're gonna go check out the ice and see if it's safe enough to get out and put a net on. I know it'll bear our weight. I know we can walk out on it, but that doesn't mean we can make a pile of fish on it or take 700 or 800 pounds of net on it. And if that ain't happening, we certainly ain't bringing our kids out on it. So we're just gonna go make sure it's safe the way we know how.
Ice fishing is crucial to the Hailstones' winter trade stock. But a late freeze of the Kobuk River has so far prevented the family from cashing in.
If you don't do things right, you're gonna end up dying. If we don't know how to check the ice and we don't know what the thickness is and the dangers are, we could get killed. If you don't do it correctly, you just get removed from the gene pool. Even if we have to wait an extra day, instead of running just a 50-foot net and getting a potential of 10 or 20 fish for ourselves, we're trying to run at least 100, 150-foot net, and we're gonna try and get enough fish that we're secure, that we'll be able to trade fish all winter. So it's gonna be more than just a personal fishery. It's gonna have a lot to do with being able to trade. It's gonna have a lot to be able to do with giving away, and it's gonna have a lot to do with us eating.
What it look like, 4 inches?
This stuff's okay, but over here is worse. Thinner. I'm going all the way through, Agnes. 2 inches of ice.
Whoa, that.
Oh, same deal. The snow cover that we had here didn't allow this ice to thicken so well. See, it's just water. The thing is that it just gets thinner as we head out towards the center of the river. This is thin ice, Agnes.
Woo!
This is thin ice, Agnes.
Woo!
That. I don't really like going on the ice, but it's something I have to do, and it's been 21 years and 3 weeks since my mother went out fishing her last time. We ran 2 nets. We had one here and we had one further up. And me, my dad, and my younger sister, we were just like 5 miles away from each other. And they were on their way back from the fishing hole. And this old man, he comes cruise along the edge and he's like, "Some people fell through the ice and I don't know who it is." And then I was like, "What the hell?" And then I thought for a minute and I turned around and I went back up to the house and I say, "Where's my mom? Where's my brother? Did they get back yet?" And he's like, "No, they never come back. They're still out fishing." And right there, I knew it. And my brother was right under my mom. and we never did find my brother's girlfriend. My mom taught me to be tough. My mom taught me to be strong. Try not to show my fear to my younger girls, but I caution them and I tell them to always know the safety in the surrounding areas where they're working at and always be safe, because even though you think it's safe and you go over it yesterday and the day before and the day before, it's still not safe. So it's just a scary thing. I don't around when it comes to ice. Yesterday we didn't even go out this far. We were just along the edge.
It's safe to walk on. It's not safe to take a lot of weight. If we're going to have several people here, we're going to have a net that weighs several hundred pounds, and we're going to bring out several hundred pounds of fish along with the net all into the same place where we're all working together, this is going to be a disaster. So we're not going to put a net in. Nothing we want to do today, that's for sure. Sometimes this is what nature does to you. Sometimes these things happen, you don't get a choice, you just roll with it. I think we're just gonna have to wait and hope that the good weather comes back. It's just kind of like going to the store and not being able to find lettuce when you really crave a salad. Ice fishing this year just isn't a happening deal.
Ooh.
Wata!
If you spend 1 year in the bush up here, you will learn more about yourself in that 1 year than you will in a lifetime of living where there's distractions and compromises and all these other things in life.
Okay, something smells kind of fishy over here.
You think it could be fish? You can take one and I'll take another.
All right, 10 fish. I remember holding up 6 one time. Holy cow.
Is it heavy?
Yeah, a little bit. Of course, you're gonna take that one and make me look like a wuss, aren't you?
So how are you connecting with the dogs, do you feel?
Well, that's one thing I really have to say is, like, when I was falling off, I wasn't even trying to row the dogs. I was just like, whoa, I'm falling. You know, I was up in a heartbeat thinking I was going to be chasing dogs for miles down the lake. But, you know, she stopped right away. And that's one thing I noticed with Tia. She's always looking back at me. Like, it always kind of calms me a little bit. It's like, you know, as much as I feel like I'm taking care of them out there, they were really making sure to take care of me.
We've had a lot of clients come and go. And there's not a lot of people that you would trust to actually take their dogs and go alone. Cody's been one of those that you know, I got a deep down feeling in my gut that boy's got what it takes. Okay, guys, who wants fish?
Hey. Sit. Hey, good job today, buddy. Good job. You earned that.
Who gets one? Who's still hungry?
People refer to a dog as man's best friend all the time, and I don't think they truly know what that means. I mean, these aren't just sled dogs. They're a family, and I'm kind of looking at them more and more as people every day.
Okay, I want you to be very quiet now, Cody.
That's the sound of a lot of happy dogs. Right now, I don't know if words can really express how I feel. I mean, I'm 26 years old. I spent a good portion of the last 10 years kind of trying to figure out who I am, what I'm supposed to do. Coming out here, I thought it was just going to be a really hard substance lifestyle, but I'm coming to find out it's something that I feel like I was born to do. I love this. I mean, there's absolutely nothing else I'd rather be doing right now. I don't think I'm ever gonna be able to call anywhere else home.